And to be honest with you, I'm just going to take a couple minutes. I really want to share our story, me and my wife, something that we've walked through over the past few months and how I believe it relates 100% to what we're talking about this weekend with the vision of life groups and what this weekend represents. So I'm not going to go into the whole story, but some of you have heard this before. In the fall of 2016, I had a battle with thyroid cancer. And I'm not going to go into all the details, but I'm going to tell you the great news is that they caught it. It was contained. We went through a treatment. And 3 days before Christmas, by the grace of God, I'm 100% cancer free. Come on. I'm going to eat 2 cookies today and not even feel bad about it. I'm just going for it. What's funny is, last week was the first time in a few months that I actually got back to working out, trying to get active again. It's been a few months, and I don't know about you, but if you haven't been around the gym for a while, there's always somebody that's working out with you that makes it a point that you haven't been there, and they got to point you out. And so these couple guys that I get a chance to work out with, they don't go to church here. They didn't know the whole story. So immediately they come up to me. They're like, oh, Foster, where you been, man? You just been eating donuts and ice cream. You've been gaining weight. What you been doing? And man, I took the opportunity that was right in front of me. I just kind of looked at them. I said, no, guys, actually, I've been recovering from cancer. And their faces were like, oh, I'm so sorry, I didn't know. I'm like, no, guys, it's okay. I mean, I was enjoying some donuts and ice cream as I was recovering from major surgery and cancer. So don't be that guy when somebody comes back to the gym. You never know. You never know what's going on. But let me just say that when it comes to life groups, I want to share with you something from the Word of God, the foundation, the scripture that really we base our vision off of and really what this weekend is all about. Check this out in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9 and 10. And there's one particular phrase, there's one particular statement in this scripture I want us to lean into. Listen to this. Two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. That last statement is something that we're going to circle back to here in a little bit. I'm going to explain why that is so incredibly powerful. But if I could just pull back the curtain for you, October 31st, 2016, Halloween, I was going in for what I thought was just going to be a routine thyroid surgery. They found some growths on my thyroid. We're going to go in. They were going to knock it out. There was no indication at the time that there was cancer. There was no indication that it was actually anything very serious. But surrounding that time, we had friends, we had pastors, we had people that were near us, around us, praying for us. And right up until about a few minutes before I went back into the OR, I wasn't thinking much of anything. I mean, I just thought this is going to be something over the next couple hours. I'm going to wake up and life is going to go on as it normally has. But it's the story that happened when I was asleep that I want to talk to you about this morning. It's actually the moments when I wasn't awake that I want you to really lean into. And I just want you to picture this. I want you to just imagine what it would be like if you were in my shoes in that moment. Because when I was in surgery, that's when my wife, when Lauren got the report of everything that was actually going on. The pathologist on site noticed when they were doing surgery that it was cancerous. They had to inform her. They had to inform my family. And I don't know if you've ever been around medical scenarios like that, but oftentimes the delivery is very direct. The delivery is very blunt. You just kind of get the information, and then it just hits you right where it's at. And so that's exactly what happened with me. That's what happened with her. And so she's receiving this information. It's surprising to her. It's shocking everybody around her. But here's what I'm thankful for, that right there in that moment when she was hearing that news, her best friend was standing right there next to her. People that were loving our family, supporting us in that moment of need. And why this is so important, why you got to get this, is because I couldn't be there to help and support my wife. Because I'm in surgery. I'm out. At this point, as a man, I couldn't even do for her what I would have wanted to. Because she's hurting. She needs support in that moment. And here I am. I'm lying unconscious. My wife might say that's how I normally am, but in that moment, there's nothing that I can do. I can't help. I can't be a support. But I thank God because in those moments, you remember who's by your side. Because in those moments, you find out what true community, what true friendship really looks like, because someone else was able to step into the place that I would normally have as a position in my family, and others were able to take hold when I wasn't able to. This is when you see the power of community. This is when you see the power of those that gather around the table. This table that we have represented up here, this is a relational table. This table is where real friendship happens. This table is where self-disclosure, authenticity, this is where the Spirit of God lives and moves. And if I'm being honest with you guys, I don't eat from that table as often as I should. Because there's so many times that I just get caught up with my own life, the speed that I'm running, my own agenda, and I just sometimes forget the value of relationships and community. And that's what life groups is all about. So I just want you to consider a couple things here this morning. First of all, if you were ever in a situation that I just described, who would you call? Who would you text? Who would be there for you in a moment where you would need somebody to step up and step in to a position where maybe your family needed to be taken care of? Maybe a better way to ask that question is simply this: who is sitting at your table? Who is around you? I know for some of us, when it comes to life groups, when you hear us talk about this every semester here at New Life, for some, this is exactly the way it is. It's been great for you. I mean, everything that I'm talking about, you understand, because you know who you would call, you know who's by your side, you know who would be praying for you. The people that are in your groups, it's like family. These are your best friends. You know the value of community and relationships here at our church. But for others, maybe you fall into the category where you've just been on the sidelines, you've been processing, maybe you're even considering whether or not the table is even a benefit to you, whether it's even worth your time. And maybe even for some, you've had a slightly negative experience when it comes to life groups. Maybe you've gotten into one, and for whatever reason, it just hasn't gone the way you expected. Maybe it didn't live up to the expectation that you thought, or it didn't fully work out the way you had intended. If that's you, let me pastor you, let me challenge you here for a second. Because when you start to go down that path, when that pattern starts to emerge, this is exactly what takes place when you start to move away from the table and you start to eat alone. And this is never the way that God intended it. And oftentimes what happens is we start to get a little bit critical. We start to think, I don't really even know if life groups are even worth it. I don't really have time in my schedule. I'm busy, and I know they talk about it a lot, but I'm not going to buy into it. And if you stay in that place too long, you'll become a little cynical, because you'll see that other people at this church, they have what you don't, and you'll wonder why you don't have it. And you'll start to get frustrated because someone else is experiencing what you deep down know that you need. And after too long, you'll become calloused, where you just become hard and just you're shut down to what the Spirit of God wants to do around the table, because eventually you'll become completely convinced that this table is not for you. And you'll start to isolate and do life alone, and no one's around your table. As a pastor, I'm pleading with you this weekend, consider the table again. Get around some of these leaders in these groups. The heart of Pastor Rick and Michelle here this year at our church is for you to find your place. If you're in a group, you don't like it, it's not the best fit, man, back out of it, find another group, put the car in reverse. No one is going to get offended. No one is going to get mad. All we want is for you to find your seat at the table and have somebody around you. But here's the deal. It's going to be your move. No one's going to force you to do it. No one can manipulate you to do it. You are going to have to take the first step. You're going to have to pull up a chair, and you're going to have to sit down at the table, and you're going to have to choose community. And even Jesus emphasized this. He knew the value of it. He knew why we had to have this present in our life, because ultimately, here's the deal. If you isolate, if you become disconnected from the table, then you have separated yourself from the one thing that the Spirit of God has designed for you and I to grow spiritually. When we separate ourselves from the table, when we walk through life alone, it's never the way God intended or designed. Check out this scripture in John 15. Jesus lays this out here. He says, I've told you these things for a purpose, that my joy might be your joy and your joy wholly mature. This is my command. Love one another the way I loved you. That happens around the table. This is the best way to love. Put your life on the line for your friends. That statement right there is what I experienced this past fall, except it was done for my family. Somebody willing to put their life on hold, on the line for me, for my wife. I can't even explain to you how much that meant to us in our time of need. And let me just say this, it doesn't mean you have to go through cancer. It doesn't mean you have to go through a crisis to experience this, but it does mean that you've got to get around the table. You're my friends when you do the things that I command you. I'm no longer calling you servants because servants don't understand what their master is thinking and planning. Listen to this, the most powerful statement in this passage of scripture. No, I've named you friends because I've let you in on everything I've heard from the Father. Everybody, just look up here for a second. You need to let somebody into your life. You need to be real with someone. Someone has to know the real you. They've got to know what's going on in your world. I love the way that Pastor Rick says it. He says, you do not have to be transparent with everyone, but you do have to be authentic with someone. You do have to make a choice. You got to get around the table. I was thinking about this. If my kids, I've got two young kids, if at some point during the week when we were making dinner, if around dinner time, Emma or Jaden, they came up to us, they said, Dad, Mom, you know what? For dinner, we're just going to take our plate of food. We're going to go back in our room. We're just going to do our own thing. And, you know, we're going to eat by ourselves here tonight. We'd be like, you're crazy. You're getting around the table. No, we're going to all eat together because this is what family does. We gather around the table. This is where relationships occur. This is where the life of God exists. This is where the Spirit of God lives and moves. But you got to make the choice to get around the table. Pull up a seat. At the end of the day, God never designed you and I to live and eat alone. You'll never fully understand or experience this until you go through a moment where you need it, where you have it, where you experience it in a way that you never have before. And just like that scripture in Ecclesiastes, warning us about not falling alone, when you realize you've got somebody standing right there next to you, sitting next to you at your table, you'll realize that you're not alone and that that's exactly the way the Spirit of God wants it. If you would, bow your heads, close your eyes with me here this morning. Man, I want to pray for you. Then we're going to put some practical application to exactly what I'm talking about. You're going to get the chance to get around and visit a lot of tables. There's a lot of different options here for you to find your place. And I'm praying and believing this weekend that if you've never experienced what life is like around the table, that this would be your day, that you'd make your move. I'm doing everything in the power of my voice to motivate some of you that have been here for years and you've never made a move towards the table to just go for it, to just do it. Don't wait until next semester. Don't wait until next year. Make a move here today.